Welcome to This Week in Brattleboro History,
produced by
the Brattleboro Historical Society
and
the Brattleboro Area Middle School.
200 years ago, Daniel Webster was one of the most well-known political speakers in the country. Webster was originally from New Hampshire but moved to Boston in 1816. While in New Hampshire, he served in the U.S. House of Representatives. In the 1820s, Webster was again in the House of Representatives, this time from Massachusetts. In 1827, he was chosen to be a U.S. Senator from Massachusetts.
In 1827, Brattleboro's Jonathan Hunt was selected to serve in the U.S. House of Representatives for Vermont. Webster and Hunt became housemates in Washington, D.C. and struck up a friendship. Webster was a recurrent visitor of Hunt's home in Brattleboro and, according to Webster's letters, the two families also vacationed together in New York State.
In the 1820s, the United States was struggling to find an identity. The War of 1812 had recently ended and the country was split into three factions, the agricultural South, the industrial North, and the Western Frontier. Issues like slavery, trade policy, immigration, westward expansion, and labor costs were causing some in Congress to wonder whether the Union of States would survive.
In 1829, Webster spent part of the summer with the Hunts in Brattleboro. They shared a few weeks in the Hunts' garden on the corner of Main and High Streets. According to historian Henry Burt, both men discussed the political challenges of the day and hoped to find ways to keep the country together.
During the next legislative session, Webster found himself debating South Carolina's Senator Robert Hayne. The debate focused on the rifts between the different sections of the United States and whether individual states has as much power as the U.S. government.
Hayne said that states could overrule any federal law that they believe was unconstitutional. He argued that since states were the ones who formed the federal government, they should ultimately have the power to determine if federal laws were appropriate.
Webster responded by saying the federal government was, quote, made for the people, made by the people, and answerable to the people, unquote. His speech went on for hours. Near the end, he offered, quote, I profess to have kept steadily in view the prosperity and honor of the whole country and the preservation of our federal union. It is to that union we owe our safety at home and our consideration and dignity abroad. It is to that union that we are chiefly indebted for whatever makes us most proud of our country. That union was reached only by the discipline of our virtues in the severe school of adversity, unquote. Webster argued the federal government was more powerful than individual states and famously finished with this rallying cry for the continuation of the United States. Quote, liberty and union, now and forever, one and inseparable, unquote.
Those who wanted to keep the country together, despite the conflicting issues of the day, embraced Webster's speech. The first printing of the 77-page speech in pamphlet form sold over 40,000 copies. It was reprinted at least 20 more times.
The official United States Senate website writes, the impact of Webster's oration extended far beyond the Senate chamber to establish him as a national statesman who would lead the debate over the nature of the Union for the next tumultuous 20 years.
Daniel Webster's arguments during the debate caused many in the country to believe that the United States government should continue to exist, should have more power than individual states, and should work together to solve its outstanding issues. Historians have argued that this was the high point of Daniel Webster's political career.
Webster would continue to serve in the U.S. Senate and also served in the United States Secretary of State for two presidents. He would also attempt to run for president, but was not successful. Not acting as a politician, he was a very successful lawyer. Webster argued more than 200 cases before the United States Supreme Court.
In the late 1840s, one of those Supreme Court cases originated in Brattleboro. It was a classic case of two legal principles that were found to be in conflict with one another. In 1796, Vermont had given the West River Bridge Company the right to build a toll bridge across the West River. This bridge would support traffic along what is now known as Putney Road. The state signed a contract with the private company that gave the company exclusive rights to own and maintain a bridge at that location for the next 100 years.
Jump ahead almost 50 years, and the towns of Brattleboro and Demerson decided that they wanted to build a public highway to join the two towns together. They also wanted to use the West River Toll Bridge as part of the road. The town used the government concept of eminent domain to gain ownership of the bridge. Eminent domain is the idea that government can claim private property if it could be shown to benefit the public good. In return, owners are financially reimbursed for the property claimed by the government.
In this case, the U.S. Supreme Court had to decide which legal principle was more powerful, eminent domain enacted by a town or a legal contract signed by a state. Daniel Webster represented the West River Bridge Company and argued that private property rights should not give way to government demands. He believed that corporations had the same legal rights as people, and legal contracts should not be broken because of the whims of elected officials. However, the Supreme Court sided with the town government and ruled the legitimate eminent domain claims were more constitutional than legal contracts. Daniel Webster lost the Supreme Court case. Over the course of his legal career, he batted around 500 with the Supreme Court cases. We'd like to thank Seamus, David, Phil, and Brielle for reading This Week in Brattleboro History.
Please join us next week for another story from our community's past.